Welcome to the audio walk by the Stadtbibliothek Ulm, the Ulm City Library. Please download the complete audio data to your device and listen to the audio walk with headphones only. By switching your smartphone to flight mode, you won't be disturbed by incoming calls. Upon entering the Zentralbibliothek or Central Library, please look for the chair reserved especially for you and have a seat. You'll find it on the ground floor by the window on the left. The audio walk is best enjoyed alone. Once you receive instructions from Columbus One, follow them. Trust the machine. It will guide you safely through the spacecraft. To make sure you're keeping pace with the audio, simply listen to the steps and use them as a guide. You needn't rush. Feel free to stroll. Are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. Welcome on board. Please close your eyes. Her eyes cling to the darkness, the black of her pupils, an echo of the cosmos. If she turned around, walked with long strides to the other side of the ship, she would see the blue sphere from which she came. But for the moment, she remains fixated, as if hypnotized, on the blackness. Now that she's alone, her memories are becoming palpable. The footsteps of those left behind, ringing shockingly real in her ears. She even feels a fleeting breeze when one of the shadows passes by. Please open your eyes. She shakes her head, opens her eyes, blinking. But the visions persist. That man there, isn't that how you from the Airspace Control Center? How you? And that silhouette there looks like her classmate Olga. Although she can only see her back, like in a dream, she knows exactly it can only be Olga. Olga? She asks warily into the dimness. Nothing. Of course. They're just hallucinations. The past scratching its way through into the present, into her loneliness. Maria thinks about her mother, the small hunched woman. She thinks about her brother, the thin young man. Both so far away now, on one of those slabs of land drifting through the ocean. Maria interrupts her own train of thought. There are just a few moments left until the start. To keep herself busy, she jogs down to the lower deck. One last time, she checks the climatization system, the gravitation simulator. She goes down the winding staircase.
Please go down the winding staircase.
The narrow belly of the ship reminds her of the reform school where she spent the majority of her youth. The pipes on the ceiling. Every time Maria followed them long enough, She reached a door guarded by a warden who sent her back. There was always a point that went no further. The red, the grey, and the colour of the doors. This indefinable blend, somewhere between blue, green, and grey. At the time, a more carefree child may have called this colour pigeon blue, but reform school had driven out Maria's imagination. Each mistake ended in a small cell behind red-painted bars. Maria remembers the sound the metal bars made when she knocked on them with her knuckles as she walked by each one, striking one after another, a steel harp producing only a single note.
Please queue at the red-painted poles behind the lifts.
All is well on the lower deck. Maria looks up. From here, she can see up into the nose of the ship, through the red spiral of the Vandenbroek drive that cuts through all seven decks. On account of a theft, the men in grey came for her at home then. A disciplinary action to uphold civil law, they said. She had stolen clean towels and painkillers. But Maria hadn't resisted the cold leather gloves that gripped her. She had fulfilled her goal. Her little brother was born, her mother still alive.
Please go to the exit labeled Ausgang just beyond the restrooms.
She checks the time. The first surge will start soon. Maria calls the lift.
Please take the emergency stairwell up to the next floor.
The reform school also paid for her further education. The director had recognized Maria's talent and personally recommended her for a scholarship. Otherwise, someone like her, someone from the very bottom, could never have become an aerospace engineer, a test pilot.
Please open the door and exit the emergency stairwell on the ground floor. Please go up to the first deck of the ship taking the winding stairs.
Maria presses the number one in the lift. She looks at the reflective glass, the silver surfaces, metal lattice. But at the same time, she stares right through them. Like looking through a small window, Maria thinks back to her own childhood. Her memories, before she was removed to go to the reform school, seem imagined now. A fairy tale. As if there were colours then that don't exist anymore. Bright yellows, deep blues, lush greens.
Please enter the children's section. Excuse me. I shall correct myself. Please enter the childhood wonderland. Please walk straight through the childhood wonderland until you reach the window. Find four giant plants outside.
Maria enters this childhood wonderland, walks silently across it. She sees herself from above, a little girl jumping out of a cardboard box, wearing torn pants and a homemade helmet made of paper and paste. The child enthusiastically reaches her arms up to a foreign sun, shouts a few announcements into her imaginary microphone. Four strange giant plants protrude out of the ground in front of her. The child walks around each one, touches each one, lifts her face and nose to them. Spreading her arms, she appraises the bounty of the leaves and blooms. Then the child spins and spins until she becomes dizzy. Weightless, she goes off to explore the new planet. Maria turns around and heads towards the middle of the spacecraft.
Please head towards the middle of the spacecraft. Please walk past the banister to the computer terminals. Please stop at one of the computer screens.
She stops at one of the many terminals throughout the ship. She'll have to wait a few more minutes until Nikolaev reports from the command center. She looks around. The last time she was here was 2 months ago. She had completed the final training session, alone in the ship for the first time, like now. Following that, there had been a short test run. Everything had worked without incident. Her ship is one of a series of experimental spacecrafts, and there's just a handful of them. It looks like a glass stump, like a crystal jar. The first time Maria Cavalieri saw her ship, she jokingly called it the sugar bowl. Of course, the spacecraft didn't belong to her personally, but to Polycor Industries. Still, since she alone would be in control of it for a long time, and the square decks would be her home, Maria had developed a bond with the spacecraft beyond ownership.
Please slowly stroll along the bookshelves titled Literaturwissenschaft.
Over the past 2 months, she filled the sugar bowl with everything she thought she would need on the coming journey. Polycor Industries hadn't set any limits, and beyond the life essentials, Maria requested books, music, a few instruments. She couldn't play any instruments, but because she'd soon have a lot of time on her hands, she'd packed several with her. As far as the books were concerned, she had probably overdone it a bit. She had no idea how much a person could read in 15 or 20 years, especially a person like her, who wouldn't be seeing friends, going out, meeting a new life companion. She had no idea what interests she would develop over that amount of time either. What someone locked up in a sugar bowl in space would want to read. So she had asked Nikolaev to bring everything on board that he possibly could in 2 months' time. The ship's database was chocked full of movies, video games, operas, and four of the seven decks were stuffed with books. Maria wanted to have so many printed bound books as possible. Things she could touch and hold. Things that smelled of wood, paper, and earth.
Please go back to the computer terminals. Please find the security code.
Nikolayev's okay is coming in. She enters the security code.
Please enter the security code.
And checks that all of the shields are working. And activates the Vandenbroek drive by pushing three buttons at the same time.
Please press three buttons at the same time.
She feels a gentle vibration in her stomach and on her eardrums. Then everything falls silent again. Not a quake. Not even the slightest tremor. And this, despite the fact that the spiral is creating a massive torus of negative energy around the ship. A torus that bends space-time so that Maria Cavaliere is travelling faster than the speed of light, from one place to another, gliding, surfing, as if on a wave.
Please walk counterclockwise around the banister and enter the childhood wonderland again. Please walk slowly underneath the dangling arts and crafts to the left along the windows until you reach the sock puppet.
When she was 17, before she transferred from the reform school to the Space Institute, she was allowed to be home with her family for the whole summer. Her brother had just turned 5. When she walked next to him, he looked like a little replica of Maria, both of them with short, dark hair and sinewy limbs. Like herself at his age, her brother was used to building his own toys or finding things off the street to play with. He stirred clay into paint, bent wire into human figures. She let him explain to her what his homemade toys were, what stories he created for them, what he liked to play the most. The sock puppet was especially important to him. Just an old sock with two mismatched buttons for eyes. But not a day went by when he didn't bring it to life. The puppet talked incessantly with him, watched him paint. It commented on everything he was interested in. Kept him company on the long nights when their mother was working at the hotel or in the restaurant kitchen. He brought his sock puppet to bed with him, sometimes having conversations with it for hours.
Directly in front of you, you should see the exit out of the childhood wonderland. Please walk back to the computer terminals at the red banister.
With a low rumble at infrasound frequencies, the sugar ball slides back into standard operation mode and travels along at normal velocity. the blue ball of earth has disappeared from view. Line by line, Maria studies the data being spit out by the onboard computer, meticulously inspecting the status report for all components that may have been affected under the load. When she has assured herself that the surge analysis has started, she sends a radio message to Nikolaev. She wanders indecisively through the ship, jogging up one deck to try to shake off her excess energy.
Please jog counterclockwise once around the banister and jog up the stairs. Stop on the second deck of the ship.
Maria reaches the second deck and stops next to a palm tree in the corner.
Please walk past the reference desk to the palm tree in the corner. Here you will have the opportunity to take a seat.
The plants were Nikolaev's idea. Maria was so busy thinking about filling the ship with music and stories that she probably would have completely forgot about filling it with green plants. She shifts her weight from one foot to the other. For now, she just needs to wait. It would take a while until her message reached Earth, and at least just as long until she received an answer in return.
Please take a seat and turn off your pupils. Please excuse me. I shall correct myself. Please close your eyes.
Unlike her flights in her cardboard spaceship as a child, Maria Cavalieri isn't journeying to faraway planets now. Quite the contrary. She's explicitly trying to avoid the proximity of celestial bodies. The real reason for her mission is the ship itself. While the Vandenbroek Drive outdoes every engine that has come before it in terms of speed and range, one problem that has remained unsolved is the engine's controllability. In all short-range tests, lasting only fractions of a second in the warp bubble, the ship surged roughly in the targeted direction, but often there were deviations from the originally selected axis of up to 3.5 degrees. For a drive with a range of several light years, such divergences could be disastrous. The surge distance also repeatedly deviated from the expected value. And it doesn't make things any easier that the ship has no connection to the outside world during the surge, creating its own space-time bubble, ultimately its own little world. With every surge, Maria travels blindly and in constant danger of colliding with masses too formidable to be crushed by the spacecraft's protective shields. To precisely calculate the maneuvers, Polycore Industries developed an artificial intelligence.
May I
It is intended to make quantum gravity, the understanding
Columbus
of which is still in its infancy, controllable.
Excuse me.
This artificial intelligence, this algorithm called Columbus One, is
May
the essence
I
of the sugar ball.
Myself?
Maria's mission
Columbus
simply consists
one.
Of feeding it with empirical data and riding the warp bubble as often as humanly possible. After each surge analysis, the control module makes changes to its own code to test and further optimize its validity for the next surge. In so doing, the spacecraft improves its own performance.
Excuse me.
In theory, after enough surges, the software should be sophisticated enough to make accurate predictions about the destination of the journey.
Please open your eyes and walk along the wall of the ship, stopping at the nearest plant.
Maria walks clockwise along the wall of the ship. Whenever she passes a plant, she carefully touches its leaves. The thin, papery green is like her books, something that grounds her. As a teenager and later at the Institute of Astronautics, she paid little attention to flora and fauna. Machines took priority, and a few people were important. But now, Maria touches the plant softly and with curiosity. She hopes that the day she has to admit that one of the little trees is dead lies in the distant future. Suddenly, Maria hears voices, footsteps, as if someone is approaching her. She looks around. Nothing. Just memories. Of course, both psychologists had prepared her for seeing things, for imagining things, hallucinating. But Maria hadn't thought it would happen so soon. That her brain would populate the empty ship this quickly.
Expansion. Evolution. Excellence. Expansion.
Evolution. Excellence. Dr. Brenner says.
Why you?
Murmurs the sock puppet with her brother's voice.
Why you of all people? Why you?
Please continue along the wall of the ship and peer through the bookshelves on your right until you spot the Earth. Please go to the Earth.
Maria thinks back to the summer she spent with her 5-year-old brother. The tin cups in the cupboard, his shoes with holes in them. How excited he was over a bag of oranges. How there was hardly any fresh fruit in the kitchen. How the soup got thinner and thinner at the end of the month. These things were a part of his life, like the cracks in the walls, like the joints in the corners where the wind whistled through. Maria knew that her mother was always behind on 2 or 3 bills. Something that hadn't changed since her father had died. It was during that summer that Maria swore to do everything possible so her brother would have a better life, as soon as possible. The day she was going to leave, her little brother came out looking like the man from Mars, peeking out of a bulky silver sphere. He had found Maria's old homemade space helmet, tattered at the bottom edges where it rested on his shoulders, its round form misshaped by dents. She knelt in front of him, carefully slipped her hand under the helmet to stroke his flushed cheek and nearly cried.
I'm coming with you,
he said. Columbus One will need some time. Maria walks along the bookshelves, gliding her fingertips over the spines, wondering what Nikolaev had loaded on board for her. She pulls title after title from the shelf, leafing through in wonder or with fascination, wondering how old she'll have to be before she's interested in certain books.
Please walk left to the window and look outside.
She directs her gaze out the windows and her heart sinks. The black outside suddenly appears alive, a dark fist closing around the ship. Dr. Brenner said she would get used to it, that there was no such thing as space madness. At least not for her, Maria, who knew exactly what she was getting into. There were no longer reasons for homesickness, longing, pain. Already within minutes, her mind has started to hallucinate images into the blackness. Streets, buildings, dormer windows, a city. People pass by her mind's eye. Strangers, indifferent, heedless, and unsuspecting. People Maria will never meet. Maybe Maria thinks it's true. Maybe she would become like the artificial intelligence at the core of the ship.
May I
introduce myself? Something which is going on inside her.
Columbus,
no one knows what exactly. Not even she herself. Another artificial intelligence, without a name, unlike Columbus, calculated that it's likely to take 15 to 20 years to use the Vandenbroek Drive. Although Maria is the first, she is far from being the only astronaut that Polycore Industries is sending into space with a copy of the control algorithm. Whether it's Maria who will succeed or one of the others, no one can say. In any case, Maria must not think about turning back until Columbus has made considerable progress.
I shall correct
myself. If she risks going back too early, the imprecise steering and the uncontrolled movements through space-time would mean endangering herself and humanity. She is under contract to do nothing else but to surge, surge, surge farther and farther away from Earth, trusting Columbus
Excuse
to find
me.
A solution
I shall
before the sugar bowl
myself.
Shatters apart on a boulder in space.
Please walk back slowly to the red stairs and go up to the third deck of the ship.
On her way to the third deck, Maria bends slightly over the banister to gaze up and down into the Vandenbroek Drive. Sometimes this view seems more bottomless, endless to her than the view out into space. She takes a deep breath and continues on her way. It's all okay, she thinks. Everything will be fine. And if not, the contract she signed ensures that her brother and mother will be taken care of for the rest of their lives.
Please walk to the computer terminals and prepare the second surge.
When the surge analysis is complete, Maria sends the data to Earth. She waits impatiently at the terminals. Sleep is out of the question. 4 hours later, Nikolaev's answer arrives. He has recorded a video message, champagne corks popping in the background. The entire team gradually crowds in front of the camera, congratulating, wishing her good luck. Only Dr. Brenner is nowhere to be seen. Now it can begin, Nikolaev shouts. Olga sits up front, smiling and blowing kisses into the camera. Maria realizes that the moment of farewell has come. With trembling fingers, she prepares the second surge.
Please press three buttons simultaneously.
She is still fascinated by how quietly the surges run. Of course, she knows that no external disturbances are to be expected in the warp bubble. It's only logical and physically proven. Still, she is always amazed by how such absolute silence can prevail while a human being is breaking all kinds of records. The sugar ball bursts out of the space-time bubble again, bursting right into a metallic beam. Her eyes twinge. Maria slaps her hand in front of her face, pinches her eyelids together. She doesn't have to look to know that the angry white heat is Theta Leonis. Hastily, she adjusts the tint of the windows to 60% and checks the distance to the fireball of the alien star. Far enough away to avoid being engulfed. Cautiously, she breathes a sigh of relief. Maria first thinks that it must be a mistake. The ship's receiver suddenly registers radio waves, which the computer identifies as speech. She frowns. Here? So far out? It can't be. She raises the signal. The sound is brittle and broken. The message unintelligible. But both Maria and the onboard computer recognize the acoustic wobble as a human voice. It's impossible. Maria runs various filters over the noise to no avail. A few seconds later, the signal fizzles out and disappears. Maria stares at the terminal as if blindsided. She presses a few buttons. Luckily, the computer has recorded the transmission. She listens to the fragment of sound a second time, and she realizes why the message is so disjointed, so distorted. What the receiver picked up were radio waves, sent from Earth sometime in the last millennium. With the second surge, Maria has just caught up with them. Signals gone thin. Signals that hadn't a thing to do with Maria Cavaliere. She wasn't even born when the radio signals were broadcasted. Spellbound, she listens a third time to the voice lost in space.
Please walk slowly up the red stairs to the fourth deck of the ship. Walk very slowly.
Days go by, weeks. Maria travels through the warp bubble again and again. To keep herself busy, she calculates how long electromagnetic waves would now take to travel from the Earth to the sugar bowl. She shudders even before she knows the exact outcome. Even if she were to bring the ship to a halt here and now, stopping it relative to Earth and its solar system, news would travel 500 years through space until it reached her. Maria no longer sends the surge analyses to Earth. They would be of no use to anyone. That is, if the ship could even generate a signal that could travel that distance. Instead, now everything depends on Columbus making the drive maneuverable so that Maria can bring the data to Earth herself. Someday.
Please walk slowly up the red stairs to the fifth deck of the ship.
Another spiral up. Going in circles has become Maria's daily routine. By this time, she can go up and down with her eyes closed, down and up, throughout the entire ship without bumping into anything, without getting out of breath. To her, the metallic pounding of her footsteps on the stairs seems like the rhythm of her own body.
Please look up.
When she looks up, her gaze blurs in a swirl of color. What was once blackness has morphed into textures in Maria's eyes, abstract patterns. An intricate bullseye, green sails on a red sea, a gorge full of fangs. Every day she sees something different within the darkness. Maria blinks, shakes her head fervently. Her hair has grown long enough that it whips her cheeks. She forces herself to look more closely.
Please look in the direction of the cathedral, over the roofs of the city.
Yes, there are fewer visible stars out here. In the direction the ship is pointing, there is complete darkness except for a small red dwarf galaxy still flickering off to the left, hanging there like a firefly. Maria squints, trying to imagine its spiral arms. She knows what the darkness means. She has reached the edge of the Milky Way. What lies in front of her are the voids, the hollow spaces between galaxies.
Are you still homesick?
Maria is startled. Although she's used to the voices by this time. Although it's just the old sock puppet asking. By now, her brother is almost 16. He's still living at home. Thanks to Maria's regular income, he and their mother were able to move into a larger apartment. They now live on the top floor of a four-story building. No more cracks in the wall. No more moldy smells. The footsteps of other tenants no longer rumble above their heads. They have their own bathroom, so they no longer have to hurry across drafty hallways with wet hair. There is one thing that Maria senses without ever being able to see it, one scene that is clear in her mind. She just knows. On clear nights, her brother climbs out through his skylight, crawling up to the ridge of the roof. Lying with his back on the warm shingles, he gazes at the night sky. In spring, when the constellation of Leo is visible, he stares at it for a long time. The predatory animal jumps from the east into the firmament, levitating in the darkness adrift, no ground beneath its feet. And every time, it will come tumbling down headlong as punishment for having eaten its big sister.
You have just heard Space Madness by Fee Katrin Kanzler. Original German title, Weltraumkoller. Translation by Regina Bauch. Narration by Jenny Evans. Sound design by Jens Schalle. Production by Edith Erhardt. A project by the Stadtbibliothek Ulm, correlating to the theme New Paths Through the Library. This audio walk was made possible with the Innovationsfonds Kunst 2020, an art initiative by the Baden-Württemberg Ministry of Science, Research and the Arts.